This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. A recent graduate of St. Teresa's Academy has just won a national competition for an invention called the Baby Saver. Kelly Ann Green's Baby Saver is aimed at preventing heat stroke for kids left in hot cars. The device relies on a proximity sensor that detects temperature, blood oxygen levels, and the infant's pulse. The device can send a text message that includes the parent's GPS location and alerts emergency responders if an infant is in danger. This all came about after Kellyanne read about a baby who died after being left in a steaming car. Kellyanne Green joins us now. She's the winner of the Market Potential Award that was part of the Global Impact Awards. Kellyanne, nice to have you. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Lucy Howell is also here. She's the chief learning officer at the Henry Ford in Dearborn, Michigan, that provides a history destination that explores the American experience of innovation, resourcefulness, and ingenuity that helped shape America. Lucy, nice to have you too. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Kellyanne, this all started when you read an article about a baby dying in a hot car. Tell us about that sad story. What happened there?
That's right. So when I was a freshman in high school, I was just reading the news, and it was a local incident that occurred where a baby was accidentally forgotten in a hot car and sadly passed away. And that's actually what spurred the idea. I just realized how preventable it was, and I decided to pursue creating something that could prevent it.
So obviously this article bothered you a lot. How come?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, who wouldn't it bother?
Right.
Yeah. It happens a lot more often than you might think, with it being about 30 deaths per year. And it just really sat poorly with me, because I just think that the parents, even though they forgot and it is technically their fault, it could be avoided. And it's something that I wanted to help.
You know, Kelly, what made you think you could help in a situation like this?
There's so much technology out there today, and I think that with every problem, technology can kind of help fix it. So I decided to use what I knew and what I could potentially learn to create something that could fix this.
You know, Lucy, I'm guessing that tragedies oftentimes spark great innovations. That probably occurs with some regularity. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I think so. I think one of the things that Kellyanne's story really shows is that problem identification is so much a part of the invention and innovation process. And normally that problem comes to you because of a personal impact in your life or something that you see happening in the world around you that you want to change. And we definitely see that across all of our invention convention programming, and also from the stories that we have in the collection at the museum.
Lucy, I'm thinking that a lot of people might at least initially dismiss the idea of when a young person comes out with an invention, because the inventor is such a young person. But how consistently do young people come up with great ideas? What's been your experience?
My experience has been that our young inventors actually come up with really amazing ideas, because they tend to see problems that we often adults don't see anymore. And they tend to have a lot of empathy with the people who are in their lives or in their schools or in their communities. They see sadness or wrongness as they perceive it much more clearly than perhaps we do as adults. And then come up with really innovative ways to solve those problems. You know, I think about my own children. Their connection to technology is just so much stronger than even mine. You know, I studied to be an engineer, but they just are just so much more aware. And therefore, the inventions that we see, I mean, Kellyanne is just a wonderful example of the kinds of technology and inventions that can come from young inventors.
You know, Kellyanne, did you have a hard time being taken seriously because of your age?
Yeah, I did a little bit, especially now that I'm in the stage of trying to bring this to market.
Right.
and talking to people that could help develop this into a more efficient design. It's hard to be taken seriously, especially because I don't have a lot of the knowledge that it takes to be an engineer or even like a business owner. But I think that it's important to be patient with these kids and teach them as much as you can.
Can you explain to us how the Baby Saver works, Kelly? What's involved there?
Absolutely. So at the base of it is a Raspberry Pi, which is...
A Raspberry what?
It's called a Raspberry Pi, but it's really just a simple computer hardware that a lot of people will use when starting a project because it's really easy to use and it's easy to learn as well. So that's what is at the base of it. And connected to that is all sorts of different connectors, such as the proximity sensor that detects when the child is in the car seat, the heat temperature sensor that detects the temperature in the car. And then it also has a blood oxygen sensor and a pulse reader that connects to the infant's vital signs. And whenever all of these connectors reach a threshold that could be dangerous for the baby, say over 80 degrees, or the pulse drops, it then sends an SMS text to the parents as well as the authorities with the GPS location of the baby.
Wow. So they can take action to help save the kid.
That's right, yeah.
And the point here is that sometimes, and as a parent myself, every once in a while you get stressed, you get too busy, and you forget there's a kid sometimes in the back seat of the car. People have a hard time believing that could ever happen. But, you know, life happens, and it sort of does sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what's so heartbreaking about it is because, you know, very few people would ever do that on purpose. And it almost is always just a complete accident, which is so heartbreaking because also no parent would think that they would be the one. But sometimes it does happen. So I'm just hoping to be able to prevent that as much as possible.
You know, I read that you almost gave up on this project at one point until what you describe as your overly enthusiastic father encouraged you to do more research. Tell me about your dad and how his excitement over what you were doing sort of propelled you forward at that point.
Well, I would first love to give a shout out to both of my parents because they absolutely love your show.
Oh, that's great.
And they always listen. But yeah, my dad, he's really loved the idea of innovation. And he actually did an official study over innovation. And so when he knew that I came up with this device, he wanted me to pursue it to its fullest ability. He saw the potential there. And he's actually a business owner himself. And he guided me and kept pushing me. And although at times I really wanted him to just leave me alone, I'm so glad that he didn't, because I never would have been able to enter in this invention convention, and it never would have been able to take off like it has. So thanks, Dad. Love you.
Well, Lucy, there's oftentimes a story of a significant other who is supportive of an inventor at critical moments. Can you tell us about that? What have you seen over the years at the Henry Ford in Dearborn, Michigan?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. But I think it takes a village. I think what's wonderful about this work is the young inventor are the leaders in their own work, right? So they're the ones who identify the problem for themselves. They then think about the solutions. But having mentors and people around you, whether it's in some cases we've seen really amazing teachers provide the inspiration. In other cases, we've actually seen, you know, students learn from the stories of history and actually be inspired to kind of push forward through that. So one of the things I would say about this kind of programming and this kind of work is you can hear Kellyanne talk about it took kind of persistence and commitment. And I'm, you know, it wasn't always me that had it. Sometimes it was my dad that was sort of pushing me forward. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when you think about invention and innovation, we have a tendency to have this idea that there are superheroes, you know, this, it's a very sort of individual sport.
Yes.
And actually, I think it's really a team sport. And like with every team, you have a leader, that's the young inventor themselves, but you have coaches and mentors around them. And the inventions that are most successful, not just now, but through history, have been the ones that have had multiple people supporting that inventor through. Thomas Edison comes to mind for me. We have his lab on site in Dearborn that was moved from New Jersey by Henry Ford himself. And, you know, we always think about the genius of Thomas Edison is that, you know, he invented the light bulb. But actually, when you dig into that story, what you discover is his genius was recognizing that you needed a team of people together in one place who were experts in lots of different things. And actually, the light bulb came out of the discovery of a particular type of tungsten. But that was part of a material scientist and other folks who were actually at that lab working with Edison himself. And I think, you know, that those are the stories that I think really resonate with me as I'm listening to Kellyanne talk. You know, it took a village. It took a village. She needed some encouragement. And she's also been working with our partners at Linda Hall Library, who kind of held the Kansas City Invention Convention. And, you know, they're an amazing group of people who provided this, who rolled out our program in your area. And without, you know, without each of these pieces of the puzzle, that those ecosystems don't grow. And young inventors like Kellyanne don't get to practice their invention muscles and really showcase them.
Yeah, I think you make such a great point about the team approach, Lucy, because I was even going to mention Thomas Edison. My vision of Thomas Edison is of a man working by himself in his laboratory at 2 a.m. in the morning trying to figure something out. But your point is there's oftentimes many other people involved helping him along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's true. You know, I think we have visions of that is what, you know, researchers and engineers and people who are inventing and innovating right now, that's what their lives look like. They, you know, these individuals that are hidden in closed rooms that are all secret. That's never been my experience of what true innovation looks like. It's always part of something bigger. I think there are examples of that, but I don't think they're the norm. I actually think they're the outlier.
That's interesting. Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. I'm visiting with Kellyanne Green and her new invention, the Baby Saver. She's a recent graduate of St. Teresa's Academy, and we're talking about this idea that someone so young could develop something so sophisticated and important as a device like this. Kellyanne, did you come up with the name Baby Saver yourself, or did it sort of name itself?
Yeah, Baby Saver, it did kind of name itself. I came up with it a few years ago when I was a freshman, and it's a pretty simple name, but I think it really gets the job done and tells the story of what the device is supposed to do.
So what you just said, that suggests you've been working on this thing for several years, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's correct. So the project actually started as an assignment for my biology class when I was prompted to create something that solved the problem in our society. And that was the same time that I heard that first article and was inspired to create it.
When you looked at the market, were there other devices? Are there other devices out there sort of like what you're trying to do here?
Yeah, when I was getting going through the research steps of getting a provisional patent, I had to research a lot of different products. And although none were like mine or did what mine did, there were a couple that did the same thing, but for dogs. Like it would read the temperature for a dog and I found an alarm or flash a light, something similar to that.
Huh. Well, sounding an alarm or flashing a light, that might really upset a baby, right? That doesn't seem like a very solid way forward.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well.
So you went through any number of manifestations of this device, even trying to figure out exactly what it should be. What kind of process did you go through here as an inventor?
That's a really good question. I've never created something as complex or as thorough as this one. So it was all a new experience for me. And I mean, just freshman year, when I turned in my assignment as the final project, I say with finger quotes because it was far from what I have now.
Right.
I had no idea how many different things I would end up changing. Even since applying and entering the invention convention, I've already come up with a new idea of how to place it on the baby that would be more effective and innovative, I guess.
So you can't buy this device at a store yet, right?
That's correct. Unfortunately not. But I am working on that.
But you have obtained a provisional patent for this device, which is remarkable in and of itself.
Yes, that's actually something that me and my dad did together. We didn't get a lawyer. We applied for it all on our own. And it was tough, but I'm really glad that I was able to get it. I actually have two provisional patents for it.
Wow.
One is for the device that we've been talking about, and one is for like a software device that could be put onto maybe an Apple Watch or something more accessible for a family to just strap onto their baby's ankle.
What's the potential market for something like this, Kellyanne?
Fairly huge. Just because there are so many infants born every year in the U.S. alone. And then the car seat market is even bigger than that. So I think that if this were somehow mandated, or even if it wasn't mandated to be put on a car seat, what parent wouldn't want to spend the extra $50 or so to get a device that attaches to it that could potentially save a baby's life?
You know, Lucy, how old this all reminds me that coming up with something like this and actually getting it to the market, this oftentimes is a multi-year process. This is hardly something simple, right?
Yeah, it really is. And I think, you know, Kellyanne's just sharing kind of what our process is. One of the things that we actively encourage is kind of continuing to develop your invention and bringing it back. You know, Kellyanne's done a really beautiful job, and I know she's been invited to join us for our Globals event this year, so she'll be competing and sharing her invention with students from across the world, which is really exciting. But I know that this is just the beginning of the journey. What we see is serial inventors, both with the same invention and where they iterate and just improve on it year on year. But also, once you start flexing your invention muscles, you see, we watch students come up with all kinds of ideas because they start to see other problems in their lives that they want to solve.
Wow.
And we're, you know, that's just what makes, frankly, this really exciting to watch.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much of an inventor I would be myself, but being able to kind of watch young people take the challenge is just really awesome.
Well, that's the voice of Lucy Howell. She's the Chief Learning Officer at the Henry Ford in Dearborn, Michigan. Also joined here by Kellyanne Green. She's the winner of the Market Potential Award for her Baby Saver advice. Kellyanne, we're going to be watching closely at this, what happens to this convention and many others to come, I hope, down the road.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. All the best to you.